They're the ones with the funny accents, or South African accents.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah. I want to... Oh, sorry. Welcome to Wombat Radio. That's the name of the podcast. Do you guys want to both say your names so people know who's talking?
I'm Maya Hirvonen from Helsinki.
I'm Jarkko Bartonen, and I'm also from Helsinki.
Okay, and you're going back tomorrow?
I'm going back tomorrow. I will start traveling tomorrow, and I will, after my 30-hour flight / transitioning period, I will land to Helsinki on Friday in the evening or something.
And Maya, when do you go back?
I have the exact same route, just 24 hours later.
Oh, wow.
Jarkko.
Because you guys not flying together?
No, we don't tend to fly ever together. We try to just avoid
the president and all that.
Yes, please. Thank you.
Eat some cutlery.
Thank you. It looks good. Yeah.
Speedy. So many accents all of a sudden. Yeah. The same spot. I feel like I need to crank up my Australian accent for the sake of the radio. I should ask you a specific
question.
Maybe we can
try to imitate Dad.
How's it go? Have you had a go?
Not really. I can't really do accents.
Most people fall into a British accent.
Thank you.
Or a South African accent when they try and imitate
accent,
Australian.
Accent.
I want to ask you about a really exciting thing that's happened since you've been in Australia.
What's been exciting?
Exciting, yeah. Because I think the word usually, I guess, would be inspiring, because then it fills you with energy and makes you excited about life and going doing something. But I just don't want it to be held in the realm of art. Just something that was like a little celebration of being alive because you had that experience.
Well,
something.
I have one.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I have several.
Yeah, I got my first tattoo Monday.
Hang on, what did you just say?
I got my first tattoo on Monday.
Oh, a tattoo?
Yeah, here.
Wow.
A few weeks ago.
On the back of your arm.
Yeah.
I saw that. It looked pretty fresh.
Yeah, it's done on Monday here in Melbourne.
Wow.
A few weeks ago, I was in North Bondi with my friend and colleague Tim Derbyshire, and sun was shining and I was a bit hungover, and we went to this cafe where everybody was beautiful. Mm-hmm. Everybody was just beautiful, and
the
woman who served us coffee was beautiful, and the people actually drinking the coffee were beautiful, and everybody had beautiful tattoos, and I've been wanting tattoo for years, and I said, the fuck it, I'll do it on this trip. I'm turning 30 in 2 weeks anyway, so I need to do something. And same night, my girlfriend texted me a picture of my daughter's first painting, and I cropped a little thing out of it and sent it to a studio, which I just googled in Melbourne, and found a woman whose portfolio looked fantastic, and I googled them that, well, this is my idea, can you help me realize it, I don't know if this is possible, blah. And they're like, yeah, let's do it. And I went there Monday. The lady was very nice. Place was cool. Got it done. I had a huge initial shock that it's really not what I thought it would be. And yeah, I was on the train back to the central station. I turned back and I went back and like, I'm really not sure if I like this.
Great.
And yeah, so yeah. Well, it's permanent.
Only until you die.
And yeah, I haven't told my girlfriend either. So it will be a surprise
for everyone.
She probably won't be listening to this podcast, so I can say this openly. But I think it's quite cool. It's something different.
I did notice it, and I did wonder, because it looked pretty vibrant still. The colours look pretty vibrant. Wow. Maya, you have a tattoo as well.
No.
Many tattoos. No, just many experiences that are exciting things.
Yeah. I guess I could take a tattoo somewhere where it doesn't show.
What's the point of it then?
Exactly. Public, private, but do you ever that worry, sort of things.
Do you ever worry about getting entirely naked?
No.
Like, do you think that you'll be able, that you will feel entirely naked, even though now you have a tattoo that's always going to be on you?
I'm sure I will feel naked.
Okay. Great.
Yeah.
It's one thing that stops me from getting a tattoo.
That you wouldn't feel naked again?
In my mind, I'm sure.
Like, I'm sure there's parts of your body would, when they are exposed, you feel more naked than when other parts of your body are being exposed. So I think it's also to do with that.
Do you think it's just the beginning and you'll end up like, where's your stopover on the way back?
Well, Heathrow.
Oh, okay. No, there's a stopover before Heathrow.
Well, it doesn't say in my ticket. It says that there would be a 24-hour flight to Heathrow, which is, I don't think it's possible.
No, not yet.
I don't think Dubai, I will have another tattoo at Dubai Airport.
No, but imagine if you went through somewhere that's famous for their cultural tattoos. Like, you stopped in New Zealand and got a Maori tribal tattoo, or you stopped in Japan and got a full back dragon or something. They say the first one is just the beginning of the avalanche.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll see myself get another one. I see myself almost covering this one with something else, but I don't know. I need to get used to it first.
Right.
So yeah, it's been a... Let's just say that it's been a... Not the experience I expected, but I think that it needed to happen, and it's a start of something new. So... Maybe I'll love it in a week. Maybe I'll hate it.
Maybe.
Yeah, tomorrow. Or
I don't know. You won't ever have to look at it. Because it's not like it's on your wrist or something.
No. I know it's there. I can see it from the mirror. So.
Yeah, right.
Well, it's a funny thing to explain to my daughter when she grows up.
Maybe you should have got a kangaroo.
Yeah.
Really been about your Australian trip.
Yeah.
There was this other option, though, that he would be tattooing all of his... exchange programs, artists' faces in a graphic style, and an Australian and a Finnish flag crossed.
That would have been awesome.
Kind of like
also.
The kangaroo.
Yeah.
Straightforward.
When I was younger, I still lived in that hometown, and there was this Australian guy there. I don't know what he was doing, like an au pair or something. Young, anyway. And before he left, he was maybe like 17 or something. He got a tattoo on his chest. Of a koala holding a Finnish flag.
Yes.
That's awesome.
That's a really no nice regrets. Merging of cultures.
No regrets.
You got a hashtag no regrets these days. Wow.
That's cool.
What's the Finnish animal?
No, there was only a koala.
No, what is the animal for Finland?
Moose?
The moose can't hold a flag.
Reindeer?
Reindeer with an Australian flag
bear.
Waving.
That would be bear.
Bear. Oh. Bear would be good.
Doesn't Germany have kind of dibs over the bear?
Yeah, they kind of do. Kind of Russia also kind of does. That's the thing with it, so...
And Europe is actually
and somehow
the Finnish emblem is a lion. What the fuck is going on there?
But that's the same with Britain somehow. They've got these so much lion.
But the national emblems. Animal is not lion. It's
no, but our emblem is.
It's a caribou.
Yeah. Then there's swans.
The swan and moose are the official ones. Swan is our national bird, and moose is the national animal.
The most famous national painting of an animal is this Metso, this Dutch, it's a bit more rare bird.
Okay.
Is it you hunt it for game also?
Because there's a lot of them, or they're really smart.
They used to be. They're quite cocky, they're kind of show-off birds, they're male ones.
Of course.
But then you shoot them.
When I was residency recently in Nottingham, we went down to Somerset and we had some pheasant that a farmer had shot to eat. I still feel like chickens pretty good. I'm glad that we got on board with the chickens. And imagine if you went into the shop and instead of there being a row of chicken that you could buy from the meat section, it was all this bird. I don't know how to pronounce
Metso.
It. Metso.
Yeah.
I don't know the English name.
I don't know either.
It doesn't matter.
Forest
it has
something.
A Latin name.
Yeah. Sure, it's somehow distantly related to chicken, but I don't know. Well, the fucked up thing that you can buy kangaroo steaks or burgers in Australia.
There's nothing fucked up about it. much better for our environment because they've got those broad padded feet which doesn't grind in and kill the grass seeds, and so the grass keeps growing.
Okay.
Because we have that makes delicate sense. Grass.
Yeah.
Well, we have delicate rainfall situation. And so once you get a couple of thousand head of cattle with their hooves grinding it all up, and then there's no grass for them to eat. It's pretty, yeah, it's an acquired taste though, kangaroo.
It's what?
It's an acquired taste.
I was tempted to buy some burgers and fry them, but I didn't.
Yeah. I've made kangaroo spaghetti bolognese, which is like ragu, what they do.
Yeah.
Somehow we call it bolognese. I don't know
why. Yeah.
But it was pretty good. I recommend it. Pity you're going tomorrow.
Yeah.
Your exciting experience, Maya? Or some of them? You can say
many. One, if I say one, we told, because I was here on this trip with my mom and my soon 6 years old daughter.
Oh, wow.
So there's these different types. We went for a weaving workshop.
Weaving. Sorry, yeah.
One weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all of the three women of different age, we kind of took it on. And my mom, especially, she got hooked. So she was just weaving for the rest of the whole time. So the flat was covered with that. And I think that was actually quite nice to learn that because I got the technique.
Mm.
And it's quite close to what they would have in Finland for doing things with birch branches and willow and bark of birch.
Yeah.
And nowadays, I guess, plastic and newspaper or whatever materials you could find.
Mm.
No, I think that was quite a nice experience, actually.
Do you find weaving choreographic when you were learning it? Because that's the way you're...
No, I just find it meditative.
Okay. What else is meditative? What's a meditative thing?
I guess everything that has to do with repetition.
Repetition.
You repeat something long enough or you do something long enough, that's meditative.
Except if your child's badgering you and you say no often enough, it doesn't really become
meditative.
Well, I don't know. I never tried. Now as you're kind of saying that.
Maybe because you have a daughter, I don't know. I remember being a boy and seeing my little brother who was a boy. We're much more raucous and like much more pushing. But why not?
That's a repetition as well.
Yeah, it's true.
Swimming, that can be meditative, I find. Yeah. Swim laps, not in the ocean.
Because you're trying to survive.
Yeah, exactly. We don't get much waves in Finland, so Baltic Sea is not very famous
also not
for that.
In Darwin. Because as soon as you hit, I'm not sure how far up Queensland's coast it is, but the Great Barrier Reef starts.
Okay.
And that dulls down all the waves. And then by the time you get across to Darwin, actually, there's all of the Southeast Asian islands and the Philippines and Indonesia. And so...
They're blocking it.
Basically. Yeah.
They're blocking your waves.
Whereas like down here, down on the south coast... Of both sides, east and west, you've got all of those oceans just pushing all the waves in.
Yeah.
But not so in Darwin. Actually, there's a map of an ice age where it was dried out and there was a land bridge. You could just walk from Australia up
to
into
Asia.
Asia. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Oh, really? Yeah. A long time ago was that?
Probably a long time.
Yeah. But the plates keep moving
together
and apart.
Moving.
So
the ice ages change. I did hear this really fun theory once that in times of plenty, all the genetics of humans around the world share and spread and they move and they intermingle. And then you have all these new hybrid races. And then in times of scarcity, we form islands of cultures and communities again. And then they become more cohesive, like normalized race structures until then there's times of plenty again. And then the genetics just get shared around again. It's like fiesta. And we're lucky because we're in the time of fiesta.
And is it true? Because I heard from a Finnish geologist that the base rock that Australia is on is actually really old. Just like in Finland it is as well. It's like 10,000 years old base rock.
I don't know.
There was, used to be mountains, but the erosion took them, so now the rock that the whole land is lying on is about all north.
I have no idea. There's a few really weird anomalies. So we have Boab trees in northwest Australia, or in Africa they call them baobabs. But they're basically these bottle kind of trees. They look kind of like this.
Oh yeah, sure. It's really thick in the bottom.
Really thick in the bottom.
And just happened to have a picture in your pocket.
Yeah, because I took that picture in Derby.
Okay.
But they're really prominent in one part of Africa, I can't remember which, and in that part of Australia. And then
what happened there?
Exactly. There's just all these questions. And then there's certain rock paintings that look very similar to the ones that are found in Africa and more different from the ones that are found in other parts of Australia. And so it's like a huge ongoing. It feels just like we're very insignificant, actually. Reminds me when those time scales are tens of thousands of years.
Do you have any volcanic activity here anyway? No.
We're not on a plate.
Tectonic plate, yeah.
Tectonic plate, yeah.
No, we're not either.
It's lucky.
Yeah.
I guess that always means instability of some sort.
But I've never understood, like, there is this hurricane zone in US, for example.
Yes.
Where people know that, well,
there will be hurricanes.
There will be more hurricanes.
Yes.
Like, and you still choose to live there. Like, what is going on?
I understand. There's cyclone season in Darwin every year, across the whole north of Australia, yeah. Around Christmas. And
that's like fun.
Yeah. And you don't often get a cyclone that wipes everything out, but that's just because it's very sparsely populated.
Okay.
I'm sure if you had enough people, eventually those cyclones would start to actually hit more people.
So, no surfing in Darwin.
Except when there is a cyclone, because there's the huge jellyfish called box jellyfish, and they're very poisonous. You can get paralyzed from them, and some people have died from them. And there's crocodiles. So when there's a cyclone, and there's no waves, but I'm told when there's a cyclone, there's a little bit of wave pushing in because of the wind, and the crocodiles get scared and swim upriver, and for some reason the jellyfish aren't there, I'm not sure why. So that's the only time you can surf and not die. Well, die from different causes.
Yeah.
I haven't done it.
Hey, can you describe what's your understanding about what's cool?
Yes.
What is cool? What does that mean?
If you were into something enough that your enthusiasm for it was contagious and then I got really enthusiastic about it, that's cool.
That's cool.
That thing is cool. Yeah. For sure. There was a girl I used to dance with, and she merged over into fashion and DJing, and I don't have very much interest in either, but her level of investment and enthusiasm, I was like, tell me more. Tell me more about this thing that I've never wanted to know about before.
Yeah.
And then started opening up all these other things.
Well, that's quite interesting. I never heard such a description over that word. Mm. It's interesting.
Well, being interested is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Being disinterested is not cool.
Not cool at all.
No. That's lame.
It's lame, exactly. And being lame is not cool.
No, that's definitely not cool.
Got a security camera right on us.
Wow.
Just in case.
So we can have a TV.
Yeah, exactly.
Also.
Yeah, it's a video.
Video footage, yeah.
As well, we just link it to the podcast. Do you guys feel like super artistically nourished?
From the Dance Massive? Or from their whole period in Australia?
We can talk about both, or either or neither.
I feel I'm super nourished and grateful and overwhelmed and touched and all the other possible emotional superlatives of the whole 6 weeks.
I wouldn't use all the superlatives, but I've been touched, like just some stuff which I've been touching and inspiring, and especially work with it with the Australian artist. That was, I think, that is really going to a good direction. I really got a lot out of it. But yeah, and I'm grateful. I'm very happy to be in Melbourne. I've never been in Melbourne.
Mm.
Feels like a nice place.
I saw
Sydney is prettier, but there's a good vibe in Melbourne.
I saw a run through of Team Derbyshire's yesterday, and I was, after that, I felt like maybe what you described.
Not sure.
Felt really nourished, and I felt like, yeah, super inspired and taken by that. So that's kind of Melbourne experience for me now,
yeah.
So far.
And you'll be seeing the show in half an hour, so I'm very much looking forward.
Yes, it's true. Maybe we should do a breakdown. We'll just go through this, and you can give a star rating to each piece.
Oh, God.
No.
You want to give it?
No. I actually don't believe in star rating.
We don't talk like that
based
in Finland.
No.
We don't have
like,
such thing.
Firstly, I assume that it's not really finished. The piece is never finished until you don't ever want to perform it again. So in that way, actually, the most useful thing to do is have a conversation with the creator.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Yeah.
Then there's also works that need longer time to land and to start working. Those are interesting ones that you might not feel what the whole point is immediately after, but it might take 2 weeks and you're still thinking about it. I think that's also good work.
Yeah.
But it's just very different type than the one that is, super good dramaturgy or really good skill, which is also very valuable, of course.
Yeah.
Anything that is.
How do you talk about work in film?
Mm.
If it's not about that.
Well, I never can give in any stars for a show, that's for sure, but... Well, I think it would be good to get rid of this kind of good and bad work description, like... Because
I think good and bad work comes from the idea that there's a limited pool of funding, and if only so much work can exist, then it'd be nice if it was more of this there and less of that.
No, but that's again only subjective. So
of course it's subjective. Yeah.
And like, and some work really, like you can say, like that which you really cannot say, that good and bad, like in relation to what? Because some shows that can be really like something which you really just haven't seen before, or something which is not maybe something you can play, put in a box and say that it's this kind of work and this kind of aesthetics, you're working with this kind of shit and I think if the work raises some conversation and as the audience experience, you feel that you're getting something out of it, I think then it's good.
They just need a friend inside. Hey. Okay,
so you're
I'll see you
then. Yeah, I'll see you soon.
And what if it doesn't raise conversation? Is it bad yet? Because I have these really old-fashioned notions of wanting to somehow the performance is sacred. It's a sacred space in which you can invite people into an experience that they're not going to get in a context that is shaped by commerce or other factors. And so because of that, I think it's special. And when something's special, you kind of really want to do what you can with it.
Yeah.
One way of just associating from that, I think one way is just turning it around and not talk about the performance at all, and you just talk about the spectatorship or kind of experience and your own subjective Yeah, because the subjectivity, I think, also always comes from the, as you said, from the context, the state of mind, your personal life situation, your education and future wishes, etc. But I think there is something about paying attention to your own kind of audience relationship or your own experience that might just lead you there more than going on about the world.
Noisy.
Noisy.
But yeah, but I do understand, like,
but I wonder
also
if
with the sacredness
good and bad comes, sorry, yeah, you
no, no, just the,
I just wonder if good and bad comes from actually the grappling for infrastructure to support our ideas becoming.
Yeah.
And that actually we don't need any good or bad except for the fact that we need to convince the people with infrastructure to lend it to us.
Yeah. And I'm sure they're talking about is it good work or bad work. I'm sure it's a thing what we will never get rid of.
Maybe. But we were talking before about race and the South Park episode that in the future everybody is the same race. There's just a general beige and everybody speaks the same color and men and women look the same. Nobody has any hair. Eye colors are all the same. Like, but there's not good and bad, but there's no good and bad because there's no difference.
Mm.
And I wonder if we would be defeating difference, which would be a horrible thing, I think, to do away with difference.
I don't see that very...
Like possible.
Possible future.
Maybe, but what if we all end up living in cities and we're living as, because we're at least in Australia, so economically efficiency driven, what if we all end up living in high density living, which is as efficient as possible, but doesn't actually allow for different experiences? Hi, Kira. Please. Yeah.
How are you going?
We're having a chat about... what are we having a chat about?
We started with something...
Feel free to join the discussion.
Our extraordinary experiences in Australia. And then we ended up...
We're talking
about work.
Good and bad work. And then whether we can get rid of good and bad without fostering indifference. And that if humans end up living in a way which is most efficient, that is, in the current mindset, like high-density urban living and leaving farm spaces and rural spaces alone, then our world experiences will be homogenized, and so the work we make may become homogenized.
I think it's interesting when you say cities, because there's been a lot of research about how the infrastructure and the speed, the tempo of cities starts to dictate the lifestyle and your understanding of tempo. So let's say that if you had a work that was made in a in an environment that was not coming from that speed and time, and then you took it to a place where it would meet the urban tempo, would you feel like it's, you know, it's too long, or, you know, like there's no more long cut, you know, and it does relate to the senses of what is good and bad for us, just the living conditions.
Yeah.
I often feel like that on the kind of stretch of good and bad work. There's so many, well, this is maybe a generalization, but in terms of dramaturgy, for instance, we end up describing good dramaturgy as something which is condensed.
Tight.
And tight and catchy and take off the slack.
Yeah.
And that's actually, that's the sort of good and bad we really need to get rid of if you want to go anywhere deeper, because sometimes it needs to just be really slow.
There's an excellent...
There's a different point to it.
Yeah.
YouTube channel, which does drawings of famous movies, but condensed down to 60 seconds. And it's exactly what you said. And I just imagined like a wedding with just the key events happening. Like you walk down the aisle, someone says some stuff, you exchange the rings, you go.
No waiting.
No waiting, no reverence.
Yeah.
No, like...
It sounds horrible.
Yeah, it sounds horrible.
Yeah, but even here, talking with people, that's exactly what you say. Like, I'm not going to say names, but that's exactly what you hear. That it's good work because it's tight and it's like there's no slack and there's like blah and blah. So that it would be good otherwise, but they really need to tighten it. They're like, or make it cleaner, and.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of what would otherwise be a separate conversation which keeps smacking up against each other in relationship to dance and dancers and dancing,
yeah,
versus choreography and the, yeah, practice of unraveling and constructing choreography.
Yeah.
And somehow they keep getting smashed together as if they're the same concern. And I don't know actually if they should be ripped apart. But the tightness thing, I think, comes from, say, not mumbling, if we relate it to speech.
Mm.
But so that maybe can be useful, but then also can take up a flavour. You're really welcome to join in with your thoughts as well. But you have to say your name if you want to join in, because it's radio. It's not a visual medium. Yeah, I don't know. But did you think that was different in Sydney, or even heightened, more heightened in Sydney? Like, package it up, ship it out.
Well, we didn't really see any work in Sydney, so.
Yeah, that's an ongoing concern in Sydney. Because but it, I mean, in a lot of places.
We did some work, but not enough to able to kind of comment on that. But I think in terms of cities, Sydney feels faster and more harsh in the center.
Yeah.
Although our experience was more on the suburb of Sydney, which is Campbelltown's rhythm is quite different. But if you compare the centers, because I guess that's both those spaces we have been temporarily inhabiting, I think that there is a huge difference to me in the tempos of these two cities.
I wonder if the trams sum up Melbourne and the Sydney buses sum up Sydney's pace. Did you ever get on a bus in Sydney?
Yes.
Yeah, a couple of times.
Because you need to take a bus if you want to get somewhere.
Like kamikaze buses. It's like bam, 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 bam. Cyclist doesn't matter. Whereas the trams, they kind of have a top speed.
Yeah, I prefer trams. Yeah. I have to say, also in Helsinki, like, I'd rather take a tram.
Uh-huh.
Use 10 more minutes for my trip, and then I hate buses.
But other than that, Melbourne is a crit, so it's quite fast. It's easy to navigate.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's and I really like this, the cycling city.
It's the flatness. Hey, Ivy.
Hello, I'm Ivy.
Yeah, cool. Nice to meet you.
Hi.
This is Maya. Ivy.
I think I talked to you shortly at the party.
Yeah.
Oh, we tried to have a discussion,
but
it was
bloody
loud,
wasn't it? Hi, Kiri.
Ivy Warnes just joined the conversation, and Kiri Morecombe. Is that the right way to pronounce your last name?
We're live.
Well, we're not actually live.
What is it?
Wombat Radio.
What's that?
It's a podcast that discusses what artists are busy with, what makers of any sort, or doers actually, people that make shit happen.
I always describe that this is something to do with what we think
is cool.
What's the cool stuff we are busy with, or something like that? I don't know. We're not really talking about that, but.
No, but you unpacked that question, didn't you?
Are you being really quiet, Kiri?
I thought so. I wasn't really keen to join in, a crow perspective, I guess.
But maybe that's long enough. Maybe this is like a nice time to call cut.
A quick drink and then a show.
Okay, great. Hey, thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks to the growing crowd.
I feel very